Our first reading is Psalm 4, which can be found on page 501 at the front of the Church Bible. A Psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honour suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, "Oh, that we might see some good." Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the gospel reading, which is from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 48, and can be found on page 87. Alleluia, alleluia. I am the first and the last, says the Lord, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore.
Alleluia.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus appears to his disciples. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord God, we give thanks for your word that you appeared to your disciples. We pray that you would appear to us, that we would know the risen Christ for ourselves this morning. We ask this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Do take a seat, everyone. And so this morning in our passage, Jesus meets with his disciples. And in Luke's account, Jesus has already met with two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. Their hearts were downcast, their hearts were heavy, but this seeming stranger walks alongside them. And at the end of their day's journey, they encourage him to stay with them. And it's in the breaking of the bread that they realize that it was Jesus all along. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road? And so after that, they depart. And those two disciples go and find the other disciples. And it seems to be at this moment, when those disciples have met with the others, that we hear our reading from today, when Jesus comes among them and offers his peace. Those two disciples presumably have told the other disciples of what they have experienced. But Jesus appears, as we would have heard in John's account last week, offering his peace. And it says that there was joy, but there was some disbelief as well. It hadn't fully clicked for them. They were scared. It hadn't all computed for them. I had a lot of fun when I was at the youth house party until yesterday. We went up to Thirsk from Wednesday, which I should probably say explains why I've got black and sparkly nails. It's not my fashion. No one escaped from it. If you meet anyone else who was there, they'll probably have it as well, unless they found some way of getting rid of it before turning up at church. I did not manage to. But we all had lots of various fun, but in it we talked about what was important in life. We made friends and we had fun. We talked about what is the meaning of life, what is important, what role does faith play. Actually, you can have a great conversation over having your nails done. I think the women in the room might well know this more than the men can, but we were able to talk about faith. I had it from a teenager who actually lives up in Leeds, and we talked about faith and church and what it is to seek after the Lord. And when you're working out faith, you work it out in stages, don't you? It's a sort of a progressive thing. It may have, for you, happened in teenage times. For me, it happened at university. All right, maybe I think there is a God. Maybe I think Jesus is a real person. I think that actually he died. I think that actually he did actually rise from the dead. And that seems crazy. Maybe he actually is the Son of God after all. Maybe I want him in my life and I want the Holy Spirit to bless me. Those are progressive moments in our life, aren't they? They're not just one jump. They seem to be a series of steps. And last week we heard Thomas's great statement. Once he had got to that end point, to that moment when he was able to say, "My Lord and my God." But that's the last great step. There were so many before that point. And in a way, it's great to have seen this week the stages, the privilege that the disciples went through. There was joy, but there was disbelief. Is he a ghost? What's going on? And they worked it out slowly. And they bothered to write it down. They bothered to say, "We got it a bit, we got it a bit more, we got it a bit more, we finally got it." So first, Jesus appears among them, offering his peace. They thought he was a ghost. And Jesus asks, why might doubt be arising? But the thing was, because Jesus knew that ghosts wouldn't eat. And he didn't actually say, "May I have food as a test?" But it was a proof that he was a real person. It was very common that if you had a guest, you would offer them food. That was the normal thing if you arrived at someone's house, that they would be hospitable. Maybe possibly thinking he was a ghost, they forgot their manners. But do you have any food? And so they find this broiled fish that they had with them, and Jesus ate with them. Jesus says, "Touch, feel, see." See that they saw that he was eating. "I was dead, but now I am alive." But there was still that joy, disbelief, seeing what was real. They were able to see that he wasn't a ghost. And then Jesus goes on to open the scriptures to them. He opens their minds to the work of God throughout scripture. Jesus lays it out to him. You can follow from verse 46. These things that must happen. These are the steps for you to see the fullness of God at work in the world. Jesus said that he must suffer, that he must die, that he must rise from the dead on the third day, and that we must repent, that we must turn from our old ways, that we can seek forgiveness and actually be offered full forgiveness that is in God. And that once receiving that, we can be transformed from it. And that in the transformation, we can show that to the world and tell others of the goodness of God. But actually, it's only through going through each one progressively. And we might have struggles with them, but we work them out faithfully seeking the goodness of God. And in a sense, we don't get to cherry pick. We don't get to say, I believe in this and I don't believe in that. We may struggle and we may want to work out for ourselves what the physical Jesus of history means for us, his actual death on the cross means for us, his bodily resurrection means for us, and his seating at the right hand of God means for us. But when we do, we get to see the fullness of God. Fullness of God in history, in the world, back then, but also for us now. His generosity. And I hope that we do see it. That is my prayer for each one of us here today. It was my prayer for each of those youth as they gathered there at House Party, that they would work out the next stage of faith for themselves, that the next penny would drop for them, because it is a progressive moment. And I hope you are praying for our teenagers, for our children, for all those who seek faith in this place, because it can take time. It can take faithful journeying with God, and we can't skip the steps. And it sort of doesn't make sense when we try and cherry pick bits and not others. But as a community of faith, we walk faithfully together, both as individuals, but also as a community of faith. We walk through that process, seeking for God, for his goodness, for the fullness of the gospel that we see here, right at the end of Luke's gospel, the true meaning of the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus. And we may have wobbles, we may have doubts, and that is normal, that is perfectly fine. But we faithfully seek for the goodness of God. We faithfully say, I want to know the goodness of God in my life. I want to know the fullness of the resurrected Jesus in my life. The fullness of that bodily, that physical, that resurrected Jesus in my life. Not just in just for that moment in history, not just for those disciples who gathered there that day, but also for us as well. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you that you came among your disciples, that you offered them your peace. Thank you for this account that shows the process by which they were working it all out. And I pray whether we're still working it out for ourselves or we have known your fullness of your resurrection for many years, we pray that we would always know that we would seek you more and more each day, that we would be transformed by it, that you would be the one opening up the scriptures for us, that we would meet in the scriptures, the risen Jesus, that we would be transformed by it. Would you be blessing those youth who went along to the house party, and would you be blessing us, we pray. We ask this in your mighty name.